Rise, a podcast of the Maine Community Foundation. I'm Taylor Mace. Joe Robbins, an avid angler who grew up in Eastport and spent much of his career in Washington County, recalls the time when, more than 40 years ago, fishermen were permitted to fish for wild Atlantic salmon in Downeast Maine's waterways.
Places like Whitneyville, Maine, there's a bridge, two bridges separated by an island in the middle of the river, and back in early June to mid-July, the island probably had 50 tents on it. All out-of-state fishermen that spent their entire week or two-week vacation here fishing salmon. And the same thing happened in Cherry Field on the Narragansett River, and the same thing happened in Dennysville. Great numbers of out-of-state fishermen coming here to fish for salmon. It was good business for the restaurants, for the gas station, for the tackle shops. Fishing started April 1st and went until October 15th. You could keep two a day. Through the years, they brought it down to one per day. Then they dropped it to 10 per year. Then they dropped it to 5 per year. And then they dropped it to no kill. You could catch them, but you had to release them. And then they shut it off completely, and it's never come back.
Although he hasn't been able to fish for Atlantic salmon in his home state in more than 40 years, Joe travels around the world for his favorite sport. His bird dog, Kola, who you might hear in the background here, is named after the Russian river where he fishes for Atlantic salmon. Joe, a founding board member of the Downeast Salmon Federation, helped Downeast Maine salmon clubs join forces in 1982 to work together to revive the fishery. This year, the Downeast Salmon Federation is celebrating its 40th anniversary and its significant contributions to reviving the Atlantic salmon fishery. Executive Director Dwayne Shaw has been involved with the Federation since the 1980s and recalls the grassroots efforts of the organization, which now has 15 employees and supports Maine's fishery in a number of ways, from land conservation, hatchery management, youth education, and advocacy.
We started out on, you know, essentially someone's kitchen table. Joe Robbins was the treasurer when I got involved and we first started working towards some project work. And that was a lot of volunteer effort to build a hatchery on the Pleasant River in Columbia Falls. So since that time in 87, we've grown to be have a number of different programs, educational programs. We've operated a land trust. We have over 6,000 acres of riverfront, lakefront property under protection now. We were the largest organic blueberry grower in Maine for a number of years because we've transitioned some land into organic that was near the river. We have two hatcheries, one in East Machias and one in Columbia Falls. And 15 staff that are doing everything from advocacy work around poorly managed dams in the region to a whole variety of things that impact Atlantic salmon and, I would say, other sea-run fish. So we're quite involved with all 12 species that occur in Maine. And Downeast Maine is fortunate to have not lost any of those, whereas most of New England has. So sea-run brook trout, alewives, smelt. We're looking out the window here at one of the most important smelt spawning habitats left in the United States. And we've worked very hard to protect it and do some restoration work there and work with the commercial fishermen and recreational fishers to monitor and sustain that fishery and recover it to a point where we can fish even more. It's a huge part of the heritage of the region.
Not only is Atlantic salmon important to fishermen and the region's ecosystem, it is a culturally important species for Maine's indigenous populations.
There's a place called Salmon Falls in Calais, Maine, in St. Stephen. It crosses across the St. Croix or Schoodick River, as the Passamaquoddies call it. And on top of Salmon Falls is this big monster of a concrete enterprise that is a mill. And when Champlain sailed into Passamaquoddy Bay, he found the Passamaquoddy smoking fish there at Salmon Falls. And there were huge numbers of salmon there. So it was tremendously important for thousands of years, along with these other sea run fish like alewives, as a food for the indigenous people of the region. And of course, the Europeans immediately embarked on the same, you know, way of existing, and they had depleted in large part a lot of the salmon in Europe, as well as other fish. So they found this huge abundance, but it came head on into the Industrial Revolution, which then led to the immediate demise of so many of these fish. And we're in the, putting Humpty Dumpty back together again in terms of what these rivers' capacities are, and to feed us again and feed other people. Passamaquoddy, a couple of years ago, did something very unusual, and they did a declaration of emergency about fish and food and the river, saying specifically that this river needs to be fixed and cared for properly because the existence of the tribe is tied to that and the food. And of course, we're all tied to the earth and the food that it provides. So that shoe fits in a lot of different places. New Brunswick Power, the owner of that dam, it being the oldest operating hydro dam in all of Canada, is being removed this year. So they've determined that it's outlived its usefulness, and the higher and better use of that water and that river is for the fish. And I can tell you that Passamaquoddy and many others are celebrating the fact that that dam will be removed.
Over the past 40 years, scientific and regulatory advancements have helped grow Atlantic salmon numbers. A successful experiment to bring salmon back to the River Thames in England is now being replicated here in Maine.
We have now a major scientific breakthrough based upon what was accomplished there. So they took a river that was essentially dead, and they have clubs there, salmon clubs now, and industry built around that. So, and a lot of happy people along their rivers fishing salmon. And I've been there to see it. And we brought the person who was in part responsible for making that turnaround, the hatchery manager, Peter Gray, here and worked with him. And our hatchery in East Machias is a exact replica of the hatchery on the Tyne River in England. So the color of the tanks, the water velocity, the incubation boxes, all of these methods we've adopted, tested, and they work. There are successes in Atlantic salmon recovery in Norway. They've had tremendous success. They're using lime dosers to address acid rain related issues, using modern conservation hatchery, like what we're using from the Tyne, and conservation genetics. Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, those things have made tremendous differences. The Endangered Species Act, National Environmental Protection Act, and so on. The implementation of all of those protective measures is making it a huge difference, not just for salmon, but for this whole suite of sea run fish, like the alewife. And I'm looking out the window now at a huge number of seagulls feeding in the river, and crows. There were vultures, eagles, osprey, all here, and cormorants, and mergansers right now feeding here on sea run fish coming into the river. These sea run fish are a major backbone of the ecosystem. The ecosystem, Humpty Dumpty, as I've spoken of it as, can be rebuilt. And the people on the Tyne in Norway have showed us that's true, and we've done some of our own work and proven it to ourselves. So it's got to be a social science as much as anything else, political science and ecological science all coming to bear on this really gnarly problem.
The dams that exist, because they hinder the upstream and downstream migration. And the more hydroelectric dams that are really not producing that we can take out, the better things will get on all these rivers. And rivers, the rivers in Maine still have cold water, and they have ample spawning habitat. And my guess is, take the dams out, these rivers will come back, and the economic benefits from fishing will far outweigh the benefits or money made by hydroelectric.
And we see the example of that with shad, the shad fishery on the Penobscot as a result of the dam removals there. We have fisheries here, people coming here to fish for sea and brook trout, and shad and other fish on these rivers which are open. I think that we need to inspire people to action, and that means their wallets, their will to really, because these are, if we're going to remove a dam, we're going to build a new hatchery, it takes people power to do that.
A recent projection from the U.S. government predicts that the Atlantic salmon fishery could be removed from the endangered species list in about 75 years. The Down East Salmon Federation hopes it could come sooner than that.
It's based on effort. So, and will, political will, and the effort that comes with it, and the funds that flow, and reconciliation with the problem at hand, and that we should and will and shall make this happen. So it could be done sooner. The Tyne is proof of that. The rivers in Norway are proof of that. A river across the Gulf of Maine in Nova Scotia is proof of that, called Sheet Harbor, West River Sheet Harbor, where they've instituted, again, borrowing from Europe, from the Norwegians, technology to deliver lime into their stream that's been acidified by acid precipitation, using the modern genetics tools, modern conservation hatcheries. And, you know, the goal is to get out of the hatchery business and to have these fish stand on their own feet.
Atlantic salmon and other sea-run fish in Maine are a vital part of the ecosystem and economy for a state that relies heavily on commercial fishing.
We're a very fisheries-dependent economy here. More commercial fishing licenses per capita than any place else on the East Coast of the United States. Say that again, more commercial fishing licenses per capita than any place else on the United States. East Coast of the United States, more registered Maine guides than any place else in Maine, being here in this region. So fish really are important, and we need support from outside the area and inside, of course, to make this work.
In addition to Maine's economy and the ecosystem, Atlantic salmon has just one more added benefit.
It's a great sport, it's a great fish, and I hope everyone gets a chance to fish for them. And if they do, they're going to be in for a good time, and they'll probably have difficulties with their wives, or if the wives fish, they'll have difficulties with their husbands because it's a disease.
Thank you. To learn more about the work of the Downeast Salmon Federation, visit mainesalmonrivers.org. You can find all episodes of Maine Ties at www.mainecf.org or search Maine Ties on any popular podcast platform.